Going on there and point and click, get in there, talk about www.com, and you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Stand by for news.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here with you. I'm driving the big rig. All these controls are confusing on a Monday, but we'll try to make our way through it. Hopefully you had a great weekend. Around our place, we did. My wife, Jane, and I took the weekend and hopped in the family truckster and took the drive down to Pensacola, Florida to do some visiting with family. And pretty much, is it like you, is it like this for you? Because it seems to me, we were comparing notes last night when we got back. We were comparing notes, and we both came to the conclusion that pretty much all we did while visiting with family was sit and talk and eat. We just ate and ate and ate and talked in between mouthfuls of food. Is it that way for you? Especially around the holidays, it's like that, right? Where you go visit family out of town, or family comes into to your town and visits, and the next thing you know, you're thinking about the diet plan that has to happen after the visit is complete, because holy cow, I ate some things over the weekend that I just normally, I love stuff I just really, really enjoy, but because I have to be disciplined and keep from being the Goodyear blimp, I just don't eat that stuff very often. It's kind of like once a year food for me. And wow. Oh boy. Listen, we enjoyed some fried chicken Saturday for lunch. Oh my goodness gracious. Sitting there literally on the shores of the eastern shore of Pensacola Bay, inside, out of the rain, watching the rain pour down so hard you couldn't see across the bay, and munching fried chicken and just catching up on family talk. It was great. And then before we left town yesterday, my folks prepared these pork ribs with barbecue sauce that were just, I dreamed about them last night. I just, you know, it was that good. Then I just, my Charlotte, my sweet mother-in-law, my stepmother, she just keeps saying, hey, you want some more, Mark? Would you like some more? And I finally said, you know, if I'm going to stay awake on the drive home, there's no way I can eat any more of this. So I had to finally turn things down after fourths. But anyway, moving along, hopefully you had a great weekend as well, that you stayed dry. I think we got a lot more rain on the panhandle of Florida while we were there than people back home in the Birmingham area did. And hopefully you didn't get soaked too badly. It was rough. It was bumpy. We had thunderstorms. There were, you know, there was talk of tornado warnings and the like. And we were glad to be indoors visiting. That's pretty much what it amounted to. But back in the saddle again for a Monday morning. And I'm going over the stories for today. And I'm refreshing a web page while I'm chattering brainlessly here. There was, and it's up. Good, good, good. The Jerome Corsi, we talked about this last week. Jerome Corsi has decided to just tell Robert Mueller where he can get off. And he has consulted with his lawyers and said that this morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, that he would publish publicly his lawsuit against the government about what they've been doing. It is a complaint against special counsel Robert Mueller and prosecutorial staff, and it's a request for expedited investigation into gross prosecutorial misconduct and criminal acts of prosecuting attorneys in the criminal investigation of Dr. Jerome Corsi, Ph.D. Now, just as a little refresher, Jerome Corsi is a well-known author. He's a conservative journalist. He has a Ph.D. from Harvard. He's published 20 nonfiction books. 7 of them were New York Times best-selling nonfiction books. Let's see, two of them were number one New York Times bestsellers. So this guy is not a flyweight. He's not a lightweight. This is a guy who has got some, he's got some gravity. You know what I mean? He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. And he published a book called Killing the Deep State. I actually have it on my side table in my living room. And I've gotten into the first chapter of it and keep getting pulled aside to do other things. And it's one of those books that I regret having to put down when I have to put it down. But lately I've been, when I'm not in the studio doing this, I've been busy enough that I'm getting yanked different directions. So I just don't have the time to read, and I wish I did, but I'm going to finish it this week. The book, from what I can tell, is just tremendous. Now, the statement that Jerome Corsi has put up on his website, it's called CorsiNation.com. By the way, you may have trouble getting on to the website because in the last half hour or so, it has been very, very, very difficult to get on. And as I understand it from Corsi's Twitter posts, he's been under attack all weekend long. Since he announced this lawsuit, his website has been under attack, making it very, very difficult to log on. And this is the left for you. This is quashing other people's expressions. This is how they do things. It's not freedom of speech. It's not freedom of thought. It is killing everything that dissents. But I have it here, so let me read you what his... I'm not going to read you the lawsuit because, wow, it just goes on and on and on. And besides, none of us are lawyers, right? So let's just read the statement. Posted today, December 3rd, 2018. Today, Larry Klayman, the founder of both Judicial Watch and Freedom Watch, and a former prosecutor for the U.S. Department of Justice, acting in his private legal capacity, announced the filing of criminal and ethics complaints against Special Counsel Robert Mueller and his prosecutorial and media staff on behalf of his client, Dr. Jerome Corsi. A copy of the complaint can be found at CorsiNation and LarryKlayman.com. Both of them are .coms. The complaint was filed with the Acting Attorney General, the Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, the Office of Professional Responsibility, the Inspector General of the United States Department of Justice, and the Bar Disciplinary Council of the District of Columbia Bar. It alleges violations of various criminal statutes and the District of Columbia Bar Rules of Professional Responsibility. The allegations show a pattern and practice of coercing and extorting Dr. Corsi to either lie in his testimony before the Mueller grand jury and at any eventual trials of other subjects and targets of the special counsel's so-called Russia collusion investigation, or be indicted himself. The special counsel and his conflicted prosecutorial staff, having offered what they termed a sweetheart plea deal if Dr. Corsi would falsely rat out targets such as Roger Stone and President Donald J. Trump, were flat out rejected by Dr. Corsi for their criminal, illegal, and unethical plea deal. Klayman, the lawyer, had this to say upon filing the complaint on behalf of Dr. Corsi. In filing this complaint, my client is not only standing up for his own legal and constitutional rights, but also those of the American people. This rogue government tyranny, perpetrated by a special counsel and his prosecutorial staff, which is designed to effectively overthrow a duly elected president by coercing and extorting false testimony from Dr. Corsi and others, cannot be permitted in a civilized society. Dr. Corsi is an American hero, not a felon, as depicted falsely by Special Counsel Mueller and his prosecutorial staff. To the contrary, it is Mueller and his comrades who must now be held to account under the rule of law and professional ethics. The complaint prays that Dr. Mueller be disciplined and removed, that Robert Mueller be disciplined and removed as special counsel along with his partisan staff, and that those serious allegations be referred to appropriate state and local authorities for criminal prosecution. It also demands that Mueller and his prosecutorial staff be disbarred from the practice of law. Wow. So this is in the very, very real sense, it is a bombshell. These are bombshell allegations against the Mueller probe. And honestly, it's high time that somebody just decided to summon up the guts to do it. Because we've been watching this whole thing spin further and further away from what they said it was supposed to be. They've been, rather than pursuing the goal that was stated to the American public at the beginning, they have been chasing rabbits and prosecuting anyone and everyone they can purely for the sake of besmirching the character of Donald Trump. They're trying to make him guilty by association. And you and I both know that that doesn't work. It's not proper. It doesn't apply in this particular situation. In the beginning, they screamed, they cried, Russia, Russia, Russia. But what we're finding is this guy lied about something on his taxes. This guy lied to us about a meeting. Or in the case of Jerome Corsi, he forgot about forwarding an email to somebody. And then when they said, why didn't you tell us about that? He said, oh yeah, I did that. I forgot about it. I forgot to tell you about it. It was a couple of years ago. And, you know, a lot of water under the bridge since then. Can't remember every last little detail of things. I did forget about that. But I do admit, yeah, I did. I did forward that email to somebody. And as a result of that lapse of memory, they have tried to, well, they've accused him of perjury. And he is just one. We've had several people who have been accused of wrongdoing. They've set up traps. They're called perjury traps. Look up how it works. And they're doing what they can to create the image, a negative image around these people and tie it all back to Donald Trump. Now, I don't know if you remember, but if you were a listener, have been a listener to the Mark and Mac show, then you remember back at the very beginning of this, right before the election was decided, when it really looked like things were going Trump's direction, one of the things I said at the time was, if this guy wins, the Democrats will do nothing for his entire presidency but try to undermine everything he says and everything he does. And that's exactly what's going on here. What's happening is the Democrat Party is trying to derail a legitimately elected president. They tried at the beginning, and they continue to try. They have tried any number of things. They have lied about so many different things that have gone on. From the Billy Bush bus tape onward, they have been lying. They have misrepresented things. They have just done so many things that if you and I tried to get away with, we would actually be in prison. And it's just disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting what they have done. Simply because they misread everything. If you'll recall, going into Election Day, we were told by the progressive press, the mainstream news media, that Donald Trump had no chance of winning this election. We were told by advisors and spokespeople that Hillary Clinton had a 98% chance of winning. Ann Coulter was almost laughed off of politically incorrect with Bill Maher for answering the question, which of the Republicans has a realistic chance of winning the presidency? And she answered, of those running right now, Donald Trump. And they all just rolled their eyes and were in shock and laughed at her, and the audience just fell apart laughing. And look who won. And you and I, we watched as we saw photos on social media coming from the rallies across the country that Donald Trump was speaking at. He was going from city to city, speaking across this nation. And we watched as thousands and then tens of thousands of people packed facilities across this country. Standing room only, overflow crowds, with progressive protesters starting fights and objecting to these people being there. We watched as he was attracting all of the attention, and Hillary Clinton was playing to mostly empty venues. We knew which way it was going. And they kept trying to tell us he had no chance. And America spoke. And they don't like what you decided. And they're trying to take it away from you. So hopefully this lawsuit by Dr. Jerome Corsi moves forward and accomplishes some good. We'll have to see. Coming up next, things got shaky in Alaska over the weekend. We'll take a look at that when the Daily Perspective continues. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Glad you're along today. Please pardon me. I was not watching what was going on. I took this big bite of a cookie. Hang on a second. A little swig of coffee. Oh, yeah. That's better. All right. Thank you so much for being there. I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you subscribing to the Daily Perspective newsletter. If you're not a subscriber, I tried to make it as easy as possible to sign up. The way you do that is you go to either the Mark and Mac Show or Daily Perspective Facebook page, click on the sign up button. There's a sign up button right there. Just click on the sign up button, and before long, you'll be joining the ranks of those who get the Daily Perspective newsletter. And I explain this every day, but in case you haven't heard, what this is every day I publish the show notes. That's the links to all of the resources that I use for each day's podcast. Not only do you get what is on the show, you get what didn't make it during the hour that we put this program together, or you and I are together here. I publish show notes on Facebook and on our website. On our websites, both of them. And I just publish what actually made it on the show. But in the show notes subscription, the newsletter subscription, you get that, plus you get the handful. And sometimes what I don't get to is more than I get to. But you get to see all of the stories I had stacked up that I thought were worth talking about for the day. Some of them I may come back to in the next day or so. I find that very often the stories that don't make it end up bubbling up and moving to the front burner in the next few days. So you never know. You just never know. So at any rate, you get an advanced look at what may be coming next. Plus, from time to time, something will really start chewing on the back of my brain and I'll start typing, and the next thing you know, it ends up in your inbox. So get signed up today. That's go to the Mark and Mac Show web, go to the Mac and Mark. Good grief. Is it Monday, or have I had too much or not enough coffee? Mark and Mac Show Facebook page, Daily Perspective Facebook page. By the way, we're Facebook live streaming on both of those pages at the same time today, which is kind of weird. Facebook made that possible this morning. I noticed it right before we went live, and I said, oh, yeah, I'll take one of those. So we're in both places today. But you can go to both of those locations on Facebook and sign up today and join the growing ranks of people who are enjoying the Daily Perspective Daily Newsletter. Well, Friday, there was a whole lot of shaking going on in Alaska. A 7.0 magnitude earthquake. It buckled roads, damaged buildings, knocked out power, frayed nerves. Have you seen the pictures in the video? Holy smokes! There are pictures of highways that just look like crumbled cookies. I've seen a couple of photos of railroad tracks with cracks running down the sides of them, and that'll come into play in some serious ways in the next several days, for sure. Because I talked with my brother. My brother Bruce lives in Fairbanks. That's 250 miles or so north of Anchorage, which was where this actually was the strongest. And they felt it there. He was driving into work and was getting phone calls. Hey, did you feel that earthquake? And when he got to work, people are saying, hey, did you feel the earthquake? So he got that. And when he got there, he got a phone call from the home office. The home office is in Anchorage. And in order to do the work they do in his office, they have to link to the computer's mainframe in Anchorage, which got bumped offline because of the earthquake. The service systems that support everything went down. And so they're getting a few days off until they get everything back together again. And since then, dozens of small tremblers have been shaking parts of Alaska. It happened Saturday. And there were no reports of deaths or serious injuries, though, following the quake Friday near Anchorage. And there was a 5.7 aftershock a few minutes after that 7.0. It was probably a good 30 to 40 seconds of slow-motion disaster. That's according to Chris Rykana. He's an engineer with the Alaska Department of Transportation. Rykana was on a freeway driving his 7-year-old son to school when the rumbling started and the road started splitting apart. He said, "Thankfully, I pulled over when I did. I've walked around the site enough over the last few hours that I've replayed that a few times. About 30,000 customers were without power while utility companies were scrambling to restore the lights. NSTAR Natural Gas Company was adding workers from Michigan to help with the recovery and survey 3,488 miles of pipeline for leaks. Governor Bill Walker issued a disaster declaration. President Trump issued an emergency declaration for the state of Alaska. Alaska state seismologist Mike West said Friday's earthquake was the most significant to strike Anchorage since a 9.2 magnitude quake back in 64. That one killed 129 people. That was the most powerful ever recorded in the U.S. West said in a Facebook Live interview, "There is quite a bit of damage across Anchorage. I'm not aware of large-scale building collapses, but I think it's safe to say there are thousands of homes and businesses and buildings that were damaged in some fashion, be it a deck that slid downhill, a cracked foundation, gas line disconnected from the house." The state averages 40,000 earthquakes a year. 40,000! With more large quakes than the 49 other states combined. Southern Alaska has a high risk of earthquakes because the Earth's plates slide past each other under the region. Alaska has been hit by a number of powerful quakes over 7.0 in recent decades, including a 7.9 last January southeast of Kodiak Island. But it's rare for a quake this big to strike so close to such a heavily populated area. Now, I mentioned the railroads a while ago, and when I was talking with my brother, he was saying, "Yeah, that's going to play into things pretty heavily here in the next little while, because they transport coal along those railroad lines to different points in Alaska, and they need that distribution because there's coal powered power plants, there's people who use coal to heat, there's needs for coal, and we're heading into the coldest part of the year." And so the railways are how that coal is distributed, and that's going to create problems. They're going to have to come up with other ways to move things. Now, I know that there are truckers who operate in the area throughout the winter, and they drive across, all that frozen lakes and waterways and things like that during the wintertime. But they're going to have to retool and find ways to shift that coal transport to other means of transportation. That's a pretty serious thing. And I really recommend, when you get the show notes today, go look at these pictures. It's just astounding what these pictures show, the damage that's been done. It's just astounding. And then it's funny, they have something like this happen in Alaska. It happened last year. It was even more severe last year. Earlier this year, in January. Or was it earlier this year? At any rate, the last one at a 7.9. And in here, no, it was last year, last January. And here, we hear booms and go, "What was that? Anybody hear that?" But then again, we get a quarter of an inch of snow and everything shuts down. And in Alaska, they roll their eyes and go, "Oh, please." I think I told you the story one time about my brother. My brother was stationed in Alaska when he was in the Air Force. And he was the outdoorsman in the family. He and my dad loved to go hunting and fishing. I just never got into it. But I did later in life, but not back then. And they used to go hunting and fishing, and it stuck with him. My brother would go, if there was a season, he was hunting. And that was it. And as a reason, And because of that, he loves Alaska, because Alaska is just wilderness. There's towns, there's a couple of decent sized cities, but I would encourage you to go onto Google Earth and just go look at, here's one. Look up North Pole, Alaska. Go look up North Pole, Alaska on Google Earth and look at how small it is. Look at Fairbanks. Fairbanks nearby. It's not a tiny, tiny town, but it's by no means a big one. And go look. You'll see how sparsely Alaska is actually populated and how much wilderness there actually is. And for outdoors people, it's paradise. It's just amazing. It's just paradise. Well, when my brother got out of the Air Force, he decided as soon as he could, he was going to move back there. He got released. He was in Omaha, Nebraska at the time, ended up getting a place there and finding a job, and just hated it. He hated the job. He hated being there. And as soon as he could, he moved back to Fairbanks. And he came home for a visit one time in the dead of winter here in Alabama. I got up one morning and couldn't find him. He'd made coffee, so I knew he was around, but I couldn't find him in the house anywhere. Where I finally found him was standing out on the front porch, watching squirrels. It's 30 degrees. He's wearing a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, and he's barefoot, sipping a cup of coffee. And I said, "You're going to freeze." He said, "This is nothing. You got to remember where I live." So, kudos to the tough people of Alaska. They need our support right now because that infrastructure has been damaged. So remember them throughout today. Oh, man. Well, for some reason right now, the media loves George Bush. We'll look at why coming up next. Thank you so much for listening to The Daily Perspective. Good to have you here. Wherever here happens to be, we've got people listening from Hawaii to the UK, who knows where else. Hey, here's an idea. Why don't you drop me a note and let me know where you're listening from? I know about those two locations, but and some various and sundry places in the state of Alabama. And I don't care how you're listening. Just, I'd like to know. Well, okay, tell me both. Tell me which way you listen and how you listen. Just jump in on there on social media, on the Facebook pages, and let me know. Do that today. In fact, I may put a quiz up. If I don't, just go ahead and do it anyway. All right? Okay. Good grief. Oh, man. You can also listen to the podcast, the audio-only podcast of the show, which happens every day on iTunes and in the Google Podcast Store. You can get it there as well. And if you have the TuneIn Radio app, wow, my mind, your mind ever just go blank? You're about to say something, and the word you're about to say just says, "I'll be right back." TuneIn Radio app, that was the word that went away for me. But the also, the TuneIn Radio app is where you can listen to the podcast. Another way, if you subscribe, well, if you've got that, if you go look for Mark and Mac Show on the TuneIn Radio app, then what you get is today's audio-only podcast. What's the difference? And well, the difference is that the Facebook Live version of the podcast, there are all of the PSA things in the middle, you know, the you know, Smokey Bear and all that stuff. That's in there. And that's just for the sake of structure. But the audio-only podcast, I trim most of that stuff out. From time to time, there's a funny one I leave in. But, you know, that's what the audio-only podcast version is. But you can grab that every day as well. Did I just totally confuse you? Well, good. Well, Saturday morning, we woke up to the news. Unless you stayed up late Friday night, you knew. But if you didn't, you woke up Saturday morning to the news that George Herbert Walker Bush, former president of the United States, had passed away. And it was a shock. I just actually just announced to the whole family, oh, wow. H.W. passed away. So it was a shock to everybody. And there are, the Associated Press put out this, what I thought was almost a snarky obituary, and I commented on it on social media. And I stated truthfully, I really wasn't and haven't been a George H.W. fan, because in my personal view was that he was a more progressive Republican president, and he made that promise, the read my lips, no new taxes, and then promptly broke it. And he left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And I think that promise, that read my lips promise, I think it cost him his second term. And, well, that and Ross Perot, we could get into that some other day, Ross Perot, who decided to come in as an independent candidate during that that election between George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton, and Ross Perot siphoned away 20% of the vote and basically handed the election to the Democrats. And then I'll tell you this and then move on. Later, Ross Perot said his purpose for being in the race that year was to re-energize the Democrat Party. He actually said that. So there you go. And so that's why I have a hard time with third party candidates right now, is because generally speaking, just because people don't pay attention and they just go pull the lever or fill in the blank for the R or the D, the people who are paying attention and don't want the R or the D and they vote for the independent or the third party candidate, they usually end up handing the election to the Democrats, because the Democrats, voting out of habit, just don't care. That independent guy. No, our family's always voted Democrat, and they tend to be much more loyal to that. Even though they don't understand what's happening, they don't care what's happening. They just vote because it's the D, and a lot of people vote the R the same way, which is why it's so important to actually pay attention to what's going on. Because the result of that not paying attention is that we have a deep state. We have people who are playing a political game, and both sides of the aisle, the R's and the D's, are both involved. They're all involved. And when somebody like Donald Trump comes along and the people pick him over the deep state candidates, they rebel, which is why we have Russia, Russia, Russia right now. And everything else, anything and everything. It's all because the deep state hates somebody who's not part of their old boy club. At any rate, so right now, George H.W. Bush is adored. Everybody is speaking very positively about him. And in part, that's because you just don't speak ill of the dead. That's one of the things. But it's also been very strange to watch the news media, which demonized this man, which vilified him for things that he did, which painted him with such a horribly negative brush, is now talking about him being a man of uncommon grace, a giant of a man, the most kind and considerate person I've ever known, the most beautiful creature I ever laid eyes on. It's amazing. They're not your typical remembrances from jaded politicos about mere mortals, especially if that mortal happens to be a Republican politician. There's an article in the Washington Times written by Charles Hurt. It's called Read My Lips, Media's Love for George H.W. Bush, More About Hatred of Donald Trump. Let's dig into that. Where were all these lofty accolades when Mr. Bush was alive? Where was all this love when he was president? Where was this towering regard for the man when he was losing his reelection campaign in 1992? Oh, that's right. The press lies. And there's no time to lie about someone like once they are dead and no longer pose any threat. When President Bush was alive and still a threat in politics, he was scorned and ridiculed by the press. He was doddering and out of touch. Patrician, they called him. A buffoon who barfed in the lap of the Japanese prime minister during a state dinner. Even in later years, long after Mr. Bush no longer posed any real threat, the press ran with ridiculous stories accusing Mr. Bush of being an Ironsides groper. Yes, this would be the same man that the media sided against in 1992 to help elect Bill Clinton. That would be the same Bill Clinton credibly accused of rape by numerous respectable and reliable women. Whatever. All of this fawning praise for George H.W. Bush certainly rings hollow by any standards. Then it all clicks and makes sense again. Even on the eve of Mr. Bush's state funeral, this is not about George H.W. Bush. This is all about the current occupant of the White House, President Trump. We all know how much the press hates Donald Trump, at least now that he's president. They despise him, and those who support him so deeply by that comparison, George H.W. Bush was a man of uncommon grace, giant of a man, most kind and considerate, most beautiful creature. Even the ridiculously partisan and myopically political Saturday Night Live paid tribute to Mr. Bush. Then, of course, they revealed their true selves by reprising the angry Alec Baldwin in his unfunny role of President Trump with inexplicably puckered lips. The Washington Post, too, neared the line with an editorial in which they mourn George H.W. Bush and the presidency's loss of dignity. Ah, there you go. You get it? Sure, they're sorry to see George H.W. Bush go, but mainly they just hate President Trump. One of the paper's dimmest writers, the vacuous and principally unburdened Max Boot, was dispatched to put a fine point on the real reason for the season. George H.W. Bush, he opined, the anti-Trump. Well, there it is. All the sudden praise, all the accolades, this surprise love affair with George H.W. Bush. It is all just another vehicle for demonstrating their hatred for Donald Trump. It is true that Mr. Trump is certainly cut from a different cloth than was Mr. Bush. He comes from a different family, from a different side of the track, or river, or whatever. But, read my lips, whatever family Mr. Trump comes from, if he keeps on keeping his campaign promises, he will get himself reelected president. And that will be just one way, one more way, Mr. Trump is different from Mr. Bush. And that's the article by Charles Hurt, writing for the Washington Times. And I think he's, for the most part, he's hitting the bullseye. The media, the press, despises Donald Trump for being accurate, for telling the truth about what they're up to, by pointing out the fact that when they don't tell the truth, when they just repeat lies, when they don't do their due diligence and get to the bottom of a story, or when their reporting is based in their bias, and it is a deep leftist bias, they're progressives. When they present the world to you through the lens of progressivism, rather than presenting the facts and allowing you to decide, they are the enemy of the people. Just as the leftist-controlled press has been in every socialist or communist nation, when they bow to progressivism, to socialism, to the politics, rather than the facts, when they interpret the facts to suit their political views, they're not delivering you the truth. They're twisting it and reshaping it to mold it into their view. And when they do that, they're doing a disservice to the people. They're guiding them in a different direction than the truth would. And in that sense, yes, they are the enemy of the people. But when they report truthfully, when they report honestly, they're doing their jobs. So kudos to them when they do it right. But it's up to you and me to be aware, to pay attention, to remember that when they don't do it right, somebody has to hold their feet to the fire. And President Trump does that on a regular basis, and he's very clear about it. And then they misquote him, reinforcing the fact that they are, at times, the enemy of the people. And as a result, when he points that fact out, they hate him even more. So remember, when they're loving on HW, they're hating on Donald Trump that's the whole reason for it. Coming up next, what happened in North Dakota that you need to know about? I'll tell you that coming up after the break here on The Daily Perspective. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. Hope you've been enjoying so far. Oh, just a few more minutes here to go for a Monday morning. or whenever, if you happen to be listening later. By the way, once again, thank you so much for being there. Well, let's go back to the stack and see what else is happening here. I teased it up a little while ago, and of course, what did I do? I moved. Okay, North Dakota. There was a guy, not just any guy, but a guy in North Dakota with a forklift. Yep, bless his heart. A North Dakota man accused of plotting to use a forklift to flip over President Trump's limo to kill the president pleaded guilty on Friday. 42-year-old Gregory Lee Leingang was charged in federal court regarding his plan that revolved around Trump's visit to Mandan, North Dakota in September of 2017. Trump was visiting the city about 6 miles west of Bismarck. He was there to give a speech on tax reform. Leingang, according to U.S. Assistant State's Attorney Brandy Sass Russell, Leingang stole a forklift and he entered Trump's motorcade route after the president arrived in the city one afternoon. She says the intent was to basically try to get to the limo, flip the limo, and get to the president, and he wanted to kill the president. Leingang tried to escape after the forklift got stuck in a gated area, according to reports. He was caught by local police and allegedly confessed his plan to authorities, including the U.S. Secret Service. A public defender argued in court that Leingang was suffering a serious psychiatric crisis during this incident and reportedly set 2 fires earlier on the same day he stole the machinery. Leingang was charged with 1 count of attempting to enter or remain in a restricted building and on grounds while using a dangerous weapon, and 1 count of attempting to damage government property. Okay. He entered a plea deal with federal prosecutors and was sentenced to 5 years in prison for stealing the forklift. He's also serving time for pleading guilty to starting the fires and for a burglary case, and he's expected to remain behind bars for decades. Now, there's a sentencing hearing scheduled for February 15th. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out. So, forklift boy decides, hey, this is what I'll do. I'll steal a forklift, and I'll use it to flip the president's limo over. Now, it makes me wonder how much research Forklift Boy, let's just call him Greg, that's his first name, Gregory Lee. We have all three of his names. It's Gregory Lee Leingang. If you have all three of his names, you know he's in trouble. It's like when your mama calls you. You know she uses all your names. You're in trouble. Well, Gregory Lee decides he's going to steal a forklift. He's going to get onto the motorcade route for the president. He's going to slide that forklift in up underneath the limo and use it to flip the limo over. Well, we don't have details on what kind of forklift Gregory Lee was planning on using or what kind he stole, but it would have to be a pretty substantial one. Have you ever looked at the specs for the president's limo? It's not your average stretched Lincoln or Caddy. That puppy weighs a lot. It has specially made tires because of the weight. It is an enormously heavy vehicle. And even if he managed to flip the vehicle over, the thing is built like a tank. There's no way he could have gotten in to do any damage to anybody inside. He would have tossed him like a salad, but I think that's about all he could have done. But bless his heart, he was trying. But why was he trying? Well, they say he had psychological issues. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that. But why was he motivated? The enemy of the people. That's why. Fake news. the emotional, the rabid emotionalism of the progressives. If you have progressive slash liberal slash leftist friends on social media, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The borderline unhinged hatred for Donald Trump. The almost religious devotion to every detail of a negative picture being painted by anyone and everyone who has anything bad to say about him. You've seen it just like I have. And God love them, I love them. I have some liberal friends. And honestly, their friendship means more to me than their politics. Okay. And we are honest about it. That we just there are things that I just don't discuss with them on social media because I know there's no sense in doing it. I cherish their friendship too much. My son is an example. I told him last weekend when we had dinner in New Orleans, I told him at one point, hey, buddy, this is one reason I don't refriend you on Facebook or any other social media. Because at some point you're going to say something that I disagree with, and at that point we're going to get into it again. And we've done it before where I've just said, well, that's idiotic, A, B, C, and I just tell him why. And he gets hacked off and unfriends me. These and you and I, if you have liberal friends, you realize you're not changing anybody's mind on social media. Changing of minds happens face to face. The changing of minds happens when there's tangible reason. When people can see in you a reason that they should consider something else. That's when minds and hearts are changed, not on social media. But the reason this guy, Gregory Lee, swiped a forklift intending to kill the President of the United States is because of all of the negative press, the overwhelming negativity that's happening in the progressive press today, and the overwhelming negativity coming from progressives on social media. It is just ridiculous how deep that hatred is. There is a psychological component. There is definitely something deeply disturbed about that level of hatred. When you and I see racists, and we see that level of hate for people just because they're different, it's very similar to the kind of hatred we see coming from the progressives. That deep intolerance of anything which disagrees with what they think the world should be. Like I've said before, they see themselves as intellectually and morally superior to everyone else, and they will not tolerate any other views or any other opinions. And often they're shocked that there are other views and opinions. How could there be? How could you be so wrong? How dare you? And eventually that festers into a hatred. And if you're mentally unbalanced, it becomes plans to kill people. And that's what's happened with this guy. And that's it for today. I hope your Monday is awesome. Have a great day, and make your plans to meet me back here live on Facebook tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. We'll see you then. God bless. Bye-bye.